I'm Amy, sex educator, somatic sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure products company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show. Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to the Shameless Sex Podcast. We have a very exciting podcast for you. And
Amy's going to sing about it.
I'm going to sing about it. We always have an exciting podcast for you in my book. So today we are going to talk about sex and folks with disabilities, all kinds of disabilities. And we're not talking from an expert perspective, and we say that multiple times in here, but talking more so to shed some light on something that a lot of people think, they think that people with disabilities aren't sexual.
And that's sort of the premise of our podcast, though. Yeah. It's sexual liberation for all and sexual empowerment for all. So it does fit in with our MO.
Podcast isn't just for you if you have a disability or you know someone with a disability, because we talk about all kinds of things that we don't normally look at as disability, like erectile stuff. So it applies to anyone that wants to learn more about all pleasure for all bodies. So before we dive into that, we're going to answer a sex question. And it is going to be a quick sex question. The title is "My partner is super quiet during sex," and I'm not going to read the whole thing. But essentially, they have a partner who does not make any sounds during sex. No moaning, nothing. No words, nothing. Not during sex, and not when they're going to have an orgasm. And the question from this listener is: how do I best bring something up like this in a conversation? And what could I say to help him feel more comfortable being vocally expressive during sex? So one thing we pointed out before is the way that we often touch or respond to touch is very much related to our first masturbation practices, right? So if I was in my room diddling myself and mom or dad or whomever was going to walk in the room at any moment, I often had to go kind of fast and quickly and probably couldn't make a lot of sound, because if I made my loud, you know, they might hear, and then I might get in trouble. The shame, I had to hide it. And then later on in life, that becomes a default for my sexual expression. So it's just a learned response. It's not a permanent thing unless someone, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, everyone gets to decide what they want to do. I can hear from this person writing us. They are wanting a roadmap so that they can better communicate with their partner, read their partner, connect with their partner. And so making sound is so wonderful for those reasons, and it helps to move energy through your body. It feels really good when you are feeling pleasure or...
it's all about all the senses,
it
right?
Is. Well, when you orgasm, you make a sound, even more powerful orgasm.
Right.
If you're quiet, it's not a lot can move. Mm-hmm. So some things I would say in terms of having this conversation with them: don't do it in the bedroom. Don't do it when they're naked. Don't do it during
sex. Start out with a compliment.
Yes. Yeah. Do it when everyone's in good spirits and not in a hurry, and say something nice like, "I love our intimate connection. I love having sex with you. And I'm also wondering if there's a way that we could communicate more during sex."
And especially you could say, I love to hear your pleasure, mm-hmm, as well as feel your pleasure.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And you can say it in that way too. That? Yeah. Like there's a desire for us, or we, to communicate during sex, and as a means of understanding each other, you know, better serving each other and showing up for each other. And I would love to hear your sounds, as April's saying, because I think it is so hot.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, how you feel about that.
Be like, what if I ask you questions during our next exchange, mm-hmm, energetic exchange? Do you like this?
Mm-hmm. Or you could also say, "Hey, I listened to this podcast and I learned that when you make sounds during orgasm, it makes your orgasms 10 times better. Let's both try to yell when we have orgasms."
And if they're uncomfortable with, you know, any kind of dialogue between you, start with some moans.
Yeah, moaning is always good.
Moan it out. Moaning.
And I guess my question for this listener is, are you making sounds during sex? Because sometimes when we lead by example, it can inspire other folks to follow us. I'm assuming this person is, though, and because they want you, you want your partner to be doing, making noises. So I'm assuming that you are too, but just to be aware of that, how much noise are you making? How much sound? And maybe that can inspire them, but it might be something they don't even notice. Mm-hmm. They might not even know that they're quiet during sex.
It could be, as you said, something that was ingrained in them mm-hmm. when they were young.
Yes, that's so, some shame.
Yeah, they had thin walls and shared it with their parents or something.
I don't want to be loud and obnoxious. Yeah, but I think bringing it up, it's if you bring it up as something that you're not, like there's something wrong with you because you're quiet versus, hey, here's a way that we can have more connection, more orgasms, more pleasure. Are you willing to try it? That's way more enticing.
Yeah, definitely take the open-ended approach, not the, look, I don't like it because you don't make any noises when we're having sex.
You're ruining my sex because you're quiet.
Yeah.
No, it's not doing
that. Not necessarily a good approach.
So that was a little sex question quickie. Let's see. What else do we have until tonight?
Well, we should probably mention OMGS because they are amazing.
So I just talked to them today or yesterday.
Oh.
Season 2 is finally about to come out.
Okay, cool.
You and I are actually going to receive access before so we get to test it.
Oh, cool.
To see how it feels, give our reviews. But it should be out soon, which is internal pleasure.
Internal pleasure.
Yes.
Do they use little cameras to go inside?
No. I don't know. I can't say no, but I doubt it. Maybe. Are there tiny cameras?
Swallow this camera. Yeah. Wait, that wouldn't come out your vagina.
Yeah. Okay. So let's, if you don't know what OMGS is. So OMGS is an online program where you can learn about sexual pleasure. Season 1 is specifically about vulvas. So that's external female bodied anatomy, what the vulva likes. And it is 62 videos and it's not a subscription. You just sign up and you get to watch them unlimited times and you get to learn all about pleasure, whether you own a vulva and you know all the pleasure you think you know, and but you want to learn more. It just adds more juicy things to the menu. You might have 20 times more better.
It's buying more tools. Say 20 for
times
your
more
toolbox.
Better.
20 times more better.
20 times more better. 20 more orgasms, everyone. Better
more.
Orgasms.
More.
Or if you don't know how to pleasure your own vulva or a vulva, it's a great way to learn. So that's season 1.
And
season
it's one time. It's basically one time. A one-time fee, and then that's it. You get access to all those videos.
It's the best way to learn. It's better than any book or DVD or sex ed class you will ever take.
Oh, for sure.
It's, yeah, it's so it, there's...
And any... You can use it from an iPad, from a computer, from your phone.
And then season 2 is on the way out, and that is internal pleasure. So G-spots, female ejaculation, internal stimulation. And then season 3, he just told me too, it's going to be sex toys.
Ooh,
that's coming out too. So sweet. This is, it is all research based. They actually studied with over 2,000 women. So these are real humans that are saying this is the pleasure that I like, and it's showing the diversity of pleasure way beyond what porn shows you, everyone.
And so, because you're a Shameless Sex listener, you can get $5 off. Save that $5, spend it somewhere else, not on OMGS, because they're giving it to you. Go to omgs.com/ Shameless Sex.
Yep. And you get $5. I was looking, she's like, wait, am I going to do this right?
I know. Sometimes I mess it up.
You did it right. And then my last and final shout out is for Bijou Indiscrets, but it's a very special shout out because we've talked about it before. We talked about the horoscope line and the 12 sexy days, which again, Valentine's Day is coming up. So if you're thinking, oh, what should I give my lover? These are perfect gifts. 12 sexy days gives you 12 different days of gifting instead of one. So it's a great way to make someone feel extra sexy and extra special. Let them know they deserve it. You didn't just get them one thing. You got them 12 sexy days worth.
It's all hidden in a little box. You don't even know what you're going to get. You can start with one. You can start with 12. You can start with whatever you want. I was like, how many? There's 12.
Which day do you want to go start?
Yeah.
I want to start on day 5.
Me too.
Why not? So that you can get bijouindiscrets.com. And if you use coupon code shamelesssex, you get 15% off. Now, the horoscope line is awesome because it's tailored specifically to the person. So it shows that you actually thought about them because it's completely related to their horoscope.
Well,
to
their zodiac sign. Their birthday.
Their birthday, yes, but it's special to them. So it has a little gem necklace, a finger vibrator, which we talked about in the last podcast with Emily, but is really great for all kinds of play because you don't have to hold a vibrator in your hand. Anywhere you put your hand, you have a vibrator on there. So good for nipples, genitals, etc. And then it has a little clitoral balm that you can also put on the head of a penis, by the way.
Yeah.
And it tingles and it is related to either earth, air, fire, water, depending on your sign.
And it's all natural ingredients. Uh-huh.
And if you order from Pure Pleasure, you get 15% off with coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps. And you get extra goodies. They gave us all these extra goodies, like this cute little journal booklet and a little toy bag or a tote as well.
Really?
They just gave us a whole bunch of stuff at Pure Pleasure to give away. Yes. So if you order Pure Pleasure, not only do you get the discount, but you get all these other little things. Oh, yeah. I'll bring them to you, too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So you'll get the little goodies with you as well. Oh, yeah. I have other women in the room like, me too. So cool. Yeah. So I'll get these for you all when I come back from Sri Lanka.
We have an audience. I know Amy's leaving for Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka after we're recording this tomorrow. That's then why.
Another reason why I'm talking so fast.
Yeah. You're like, I got to go. Well, gotta go pack.
Yeah, I do have.
Namaste. That's what they say.
Is it namaste? It's namaste. Mostly Buddhist. All right. Are you ready for the podcast?
Can't wait.
All right. Here we go. All right, everyone, it is episode time. I just want to put out a little disclaimer here. So we are not experts in this topic. We have a guest speaker here who will be sharing some personal information as well that we're very excited about. And we just wanted to clarify that this is not our expertise. I did take a sex and disability class in my my program for my minor in human sexuality, and that does not make me equipped to talk about it as if I know everything on this topic. But I think it's a really important thing to talk about because we live in a culture and, in fact, a world where a lot of folks with disabilities are somewhat invisible, and a lot of people regard them as being non-sexual or not having desire, when, in fact, that is not the case for most humans, right? Everyone is equal in that regard. And just because someone has a disability doesn't mean that they're not a sexual being. So just wanted to put that information out there. And then we'll try to be as inclusive with our language here as we are, and just as we try to be as per usual. The term handicapped is no longer PC, everyone. Right?
Nope.
We also don't call people disabled because then that means that they are the disability. So the terminology that we will be using here is folks with disabilities, or folks who don't have disabilities would be referred to as able-bodied. And so you think of that as when we say someone is disabled, we would essentially be saying you are your disability, and that's kind of all that you are, that becomes your identity.
It's like saying you're angry instead of you have anger.
Yes. Or like you're gluten intolerant, yeah. Right? It's like, I mean, we do say that, but you have gluten intolerance, but that is not your whole identity.
Yeah.
And I think that when we use those terms, when we use the term disabled, it really shadows all the other aspects of a being.
I think the acronyms PWD, people with disabilities. PWD? Yeah, PWD.
PWD. Okay, got it. I don't know where I got
it. I Googled
from. That. Okay, good. Yeah, see, we're Googling these things.
Well, we Googled it.
I mean, I knew the part about disabled versus folks with disabilities, but we're just putting that out there. I know that the political correctness is really hard for folks, and I don't expect everyone to get it perfectly, but it's all we can do is really learn and try.
I mean, it's great. I love that we're doing this podcast because my company, Hot Octopus, it started based on this technology used on folks with basically spinal cord injuries, that they were testing oscillation on penis owning individuals that wanted to have children. So they had either a quadriplegic or paraplegic situation, and they found that oscillation on a penis will cause involuntary ejaculation, which is really cool. So we can get, you know, a little bit more into that, but I'm actually, you know, we get emails from folks all the time that are very thankful for the Hot Octopus Pulse products because it has helped them be able to achieve ejaculation and orgasm. So now I also, you know, Lindsay's here to share her story.
Lindsay. Hi.
So have you ever heard of the Hot Octopus Pulse?
Yes, I have.
From the podcast?
Well, no, because I read about it online when I was researching.
Oh.
How I could get this done.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, wait, so tell us your story. So yes. You've had a lover, partner.
I had a boyfriend, essentially, who I've never... Let's see, I've never considered myself to date a person with disability, being a very sexual creature, because I didn't know. I was ignorant to, you know, their lifestyle, their sexual needs. And I met this man, and he was so charming and so happy and so wonderful. I just decided I want to be around him all the time. Mm-hmm. And we started hanging out, and we both decided we have filthy minds and mouths, and we got along really well.
Match made in heaven.
One thing led to another, and we started fooling around, and we got closer. And I was, you know, kind of upset that he had no sexual response, like things that I would do. He said, "I can't feel it." So I did some research, and this is where I learned about the octopus, and read a lot of testimonials from other people that have been through the same thing. And we achieved orgasm with him 3 times in 24-hour period. Mm. And he was more shocked than I was. His doctors are shocked because I read that around 10% of people with his disability are even able to achieve an orgasm, let alone ejaculation. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and so he was paralyzed from the...
He was paralyzed from the nipple down. Okay. He was a T3 complete paraplegic, meaning his spinal cord at his third thoracic vertebrae is either severed or completely crushed.
Okay.
So from that point down, he has no feeling.
And so it just, so no feeling, no sensation from that place. And is this something he was born with or had happened?
It was an accident.
Okay, an injury that had happened. Mm-hmm. Okay. So at some point in his life, he did have feeling in that part of his body.
Yes.
And now he doesn't.
Yes.
So, but he knows what it feels like to have that sensation there.
Yes.
So the process of... I want to know all the things that you did, of course, but sure. I think the process of you're still touching the parts of the body where he doesn't have sensation,
yes,
right?
Okay. Yes. Well, yeah. I would massage him a lot because I do massage therapy as well. Uh-huh. So just knowing that it helps circulation, it helps all kinds of things in paralysis. So knowing he wouldn't feel it, but he could kind of, when you stretch those muscles out, he's connected. Everything's connected. So whether or not he can feel it, he can tell. Mm-hmm. There's some kind of loosening up or, restriction. So, I would touch his body. And the first time I was giving him oral sex, his leg twitched. Mm-hmm. And along with paralysis, you get leg spasms or muscle spasms a lot. So he didn't think anything of it. And I was like, I looked at him. I said, "Did you see that?" Mm-hmm. And so I did. I repeated what I did, and it kept happening. His leg just would twitch nonstop, and so that was my first inkling to go research some more. I said, "This is going to happen. Like mm-hmm. I got this. I'm going to find a way.
I feel it. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Dedication.
Yes. Yeah. I'm dedicated. Yeah.
And then, so there's the twitching, but he's not necessarily feeling the twitching, but he's aware of it. And so there's like a brain connection there. So his ability to, even though he can't feel, is his ability to go, and of course we're not experts, but does it seem that his ability to finally have orgasm or pleasurable experiences, is it related to his brain's association with what's happening? Or
so with complete paralysis as opposed to incomplete, there should be no connection from no communication from the brain to any part below the injury. Mm-hmm. So he, as much as he wouldn't feel it, he would, his stomach, his like abs would contract and he would feel that. That's what he would feel. Mm. And for the record, I'm no expert on this subject either. So, and I know that with every injury, it's different. Every person reacts a different way. Every person has different limitations, but he would get that ab contraction. You know how somebody hits that spot on you and your leg just keeps twitching?
Or like a dog when you're rubbing their,
yes.
Like, yeah. their butt.
And their and leg. Like, yes, it was kind of like that. But his abs would contract, and that's what he would feel, because he could feel that right in his core.
Could
there.
He feel a release when the brain, did it react when there was orgasm?
It reacted because he was shocked to see it happening.
Oh, yeah.
More so than he said so after the first time, he was able to tell me from then on before he would come.
He could feel it.
Okay. He could feel that there was some kind of buildup happening. He wouldn't feel it below
in the
his
genitals,
waist, but in his ab contractions, he said they just kept getting faster and tighter. And so he was able to actually tell me before he would have an orgasm. Which was, I thought, was brilliant.
Yeah.
And there's not supposed to be any communication, but later we found a little bit, like he was able to get erections from thoughts, mm-hmm. which you're not supposed to have at all. So I don't, and his spinal cord was not severed, but it was completely crushed by the shockwave of his injury. So I'm not convinced that there's not some form of a connection there.
I Western medicine loves to say, you know, we're broken, remove the body mm-hmm. parts, it's hopeless, you're doomed. And I hear so many stories of people believing differently, you know, and the power of the mind. And you hear like the, you know, the book that You Are the Placebo mm-hmm. and those sorts of, I mean, I think didn't the guy that wrote that book, he have a crazy spinal cord injury that he overcame too? Similar, wasn't about, you know, erections and pleasure, but they were essentially like, you're screwed. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm going to believe differently and work towards this. And he did. It completely changed. And so I think that there's so much more there than what Western medicine wants to look at, because the doctors can't explain that. What you're talking about is like beyond what some scientific formula or some x-ray can tell them.
They can't. Mm-hmm. There's no way they can really like explain that to you. And there's I've noticed other people will say like, there's no chance. Well, he said the same thing and we found a way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying everybody will, mm-hmm. but if one other person can put sex back into their lives, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that for him? Probably really powerful.
Incredible.
Life-changing. All of a sudden, I thought I had lost this part of me, and here I can access it. It's different than it was before, of course.
Absolutely.
So I guess there's a part of it of letting go of the attachment of having it be what it once was before the injury. But here is a new way of being that that he can now access. And you helped him get there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
How special.
There's also, when we, at Pure Pleasure, when we were working, I remember we sold a lot of, there are actually different kind of dildos made for folks, like the hand harness mm-hmm. that you can get if some people have, you know, depending on their injury and where it is, there are different options for folks too, toy-wise.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the Hot Octopus Pulse, 62% of the folks in the studies, it was Danish medical studies with the spinal cord injury, 62% of those folks could actually ejaculate and have an orgasm. And I don't know the percentage of what, but that's pretty incredible too, those statistics. So I think that also it's important for people in a partnership, perhaps with, you know, somebody that, you know, is has a PWD human, that they have like keep trying. There are different options and perhaps different responses will happen of different things. You can also, depending if they're a penis owner, you could also try, I mean, the Pulse. I'm trying to think if there's any other products to recommend as well.
I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, there for folks who have disability, it depends, right? So you're talking about the Pulse for people who don't have sensation and can't really.
And for penis owners.
Yeah. The handheld harness by Spare Parts are for folks who using, you know, their legs or their hips like you would with a actual harness.
Spare Parts is the one that makes that harness?
Parts, okay. Yeah, their palm, I think it's the palm power. I couldn't remember. Palm something. So that they can use their hands for force. There's also thigh harnesses.
Yes.
So you can strap on a harness.
That's the one I was thinking of, I think.
You put a dildo in it. And so if thrusting is really hard, again, or if you say you're in a wheelchair, you know, and you can't get an erection, you can put a thigh harness on your leg and someone else could still ride your leg with you wearing that.
How
too.
How fun.
Yeah. Which is pretty awesome.
Well, he had injections.
Okay.
That would give him an erection.
Okay.
And then he had a sex swing. It was like a glider.
Oh, cool. Uh-huh.
Wow. So it would just allow him to move he could hold on to my hips. He would have to be behind me. Doggy style was pretty much the only position it would work in, but that way he could feel like he was moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love a swing.
Yeah.
They're so fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they take all the pressure off your body of trying to hold your body up. And
I've tried them one time. It was a little awkward.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. I actually had this door swing once that hooked to the door. It's like a
hang in the door, right?
Yeah. It broke. The harness broke and I injured my leg, but because I fell from pretty high. But see, I think it was because it was a poor quality swing. So make sure you're getting a good quality swing. Yeah. Like the seam, because it said it could hold 300 pounds. I definitely wasn't 300 pounds. So I think it was just like poor construction.
Probably,
so I think Sports Sheets makes some good different swings. I don't know.
Yeah. They have swings.
Yeah. Because the one I had was from Pipe Dream, and that's, don't want to talk shit, but they're not the best.
His was actually a chair.
Oh, okay.
That just, it was like a rocking chair, but it just went back and forth.
Oh,
it had no
okay.
arms on it.
Smart.
Yeah.
So what kind of techniques did you use? You did research, and was there specific things that you researched to try that would be different from anything that you've done before when you pleasured penises?
Pretty much what I read was that anybody that was able to achieve an orgasm with somebody with a person with disability, it took a lot of work, a lot of work. And also I was, from the octopus, I learned that it's like a pulse, vibration, a pulse.
Yeah, it's like an oscillation.
Yes. Yep. And so I thought, well, if it's possible to get somebody to ejaculate, it's possible. If that machine can do it, maybe I can do it. Mm. And I didn't really read much about techniques. But so the first time I was giving him oral sex, the only thing that did it was right at the very tip, right around
the head of the head. Yeah.
Right. No, right on top, like right around his urethra, oh, okay. Right on the hole. Uh-huh. I would pinch that really hard with my mouth, and that's what would make his leg twitch. Uh-huh. And I was never able to get him off any other way but than with my hand.
Uh-huh. So the pressure
and
of your hand.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay, and when I would stimulate that part, almost always his erection would go away.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was tough. Yeah. It was tough, but we worked through it, and I'll tell you what. Thank God I have some good arm strength.
Yeah, because I'm a massage therapist.
Yes, and I had to get in the shower. I was covered in sweat.
Because you got a full body workout.
It took me about 45 minutes to an hour each time.
Wow.
To get them off.
Do you think having your massage skills really came into
Absolutely.
Play?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I'm like all two hands on it.
Maybe we need to go to do some massage training so that we can
get
be better.
I get like hand cramps from massaging. And my partner's always like, harder, because he's like this big dude. And I'm like trying to massage and my hands get cramped up.
Oh, man. I could give you some pointers.
Yeah. I just got a massage the other day, and the lady, it was at the Korean spa in LA, she was using her elbows and cranking into my body, and it really hurt.
Oh, yeah.
It'll hurt. That if they use elbows, the deeper you go, the slower you're supposed to go.
She was not going slow.
Yeah.
She was like,
that's like, uncomfortable.
She was like jackhammering. Yeah. Jackhammering me.
We'll have to give you ladies a massage sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to experience that. When I thought about that before, too, I was like, I should probably go get some training in massage. I actually did have a friend that's a massage therapist here, and she was giving me some private lessons and pointers. But it's one of those things that I feel like you have to really immerse yourself in for it to pick up on.
For the most part, there's a lot of anatomy, a lot of things to know. But you can learn you can learn a great deal about your basics. Mm-hmm. You can just look at an anatomy chart and tell which way the muscles run.
It's anatomy and also really listening to the body, too.
Yeah.
Like being kind of tuning in with the body you're touching.
My favorite class was blindfold massage. Where the therapist is blindfold and the patient is not, but you really had to be in tune with a person's body.
Yeah.
And I loved that. So I learned a lot about being in tune with somebody's body, which I think helped a lot in our situation.
Yeah.
I was going to ask with this. So was this like less technique and more, and there are obviously a lot of dedication, but more you just being really in tune and watching every sensation, you know, the twitch here and the movement there.
Uh-huh. Paying attention to every little movement he'd make and every breath he would take. And I'm determined. I'm like, he gave up and I'm like, no,
nope.
You just hold on.
We got this.
It's going to happen.
Oh, did you also have like penis and vagina sex?
Yes.
Or was it?
Yes.
Or, okay.
That was with the swing.
The
chair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, we did. And he with the injections that he would take, his erection would last long enough for us
so
to
you
do
could,
that.
So is this typical, like is it testosterone injections?
I'm not sure what it is.
The injections that create erections?
Yeah.
I don't know the word or name for, but I know that they are available for
there's
folks.
Yeah, there's a few
stuff.
Different kinds of them. And he let me do it once.
How long does that erection last?
A couple hours.
Okay.
I
think that's what they do before a lot of porn scenes, too. That like the old people will get injected to get their rock hard cock.
I wonder, is it Viagra?
I have no idea.
No, he tried Viagra. He tried Cialis. He tried mixing the two. He tried all kinds of things. And the pills, until I started manipulating that spot, he would go soft.
Yeah.
He would be hard just until then, and he would go soft every time.
Even with the injection?
With the injection was the only thing that
kept it hard.
That kept it hard.
Yeah, it kind of really
it kept it semi-hard.
System. Yeah, okay.
But hard enough.
Yeah, and so it was injected right into the penis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So in porn then, does that help them last longer too?
I mean, I just heard that. I think that they use this in porn, so I can't say, but I think it's just, they still have to have ejaculatory control. That's a whole separate
thing. I don't
know
if it makes you ejaculate slower or faster. I don't know if it has any effect.
I think that's its
that.
Own thing that people perfect the art in ejaculatory control. But that's just the injection's much more related to blood flow.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I remember in my training, when I did my sex educator training, they would said that the porn stars down in Van Nuys, where they were shooting 90% of the porn, which now aren't they moving to Georgia or something? Anyways.
Oh, they are. I didn't know that.
I think they're, it's like cheaper to
because
shoot
California
porn
has
the laws.
Yeah. So many, yeah.
But that they were going down to Tijuana to get injected with this thing for their shoots so that they could go up and get ready to stay hard. But this probably isn't all porn. And so just
the Georgia, the Bible, the Bible Belt will love that.
The Bible. Yeah.
Yeah. Here you go. Have some nice, porn scenes being shot. Yeah. Like, I mean, whatever. I think California will always be the porn capital though.
That's another thing on folks with disabilities too. There's the porn industry, just like it's glorifying or fetishizing so much. It's really in that realm. There's a lot out there that is not necessarily helping the. It is objectifying.
Yes.
I think we'll
say. Yes.
Yeah. So that's not, if you want to learn more about folks with disabilities and sexuality, don't go and watch porn to learn about that necessarily. Unless you're just into it for entertainment.
And I don't, we've tried watching porn.
Yeah.
He enjoys watching it, but I don't think it gives, there's a connection to him being physically aroused.
Yeah.
It's more of a mental thing.
And so he's still, does he still feel when he's getting, when you were having sex, whatever the sex was, hands or whatever that is, and he still is feeling actual arousal, desire, like that horny or whatever.
Yes.
Yes. All those sensations.
He's horny 24/7.
Yes.
I am. And that didn't go away. Yeah. His mental need and mental want for it did not go away. However, coming to terms with not being able to have sex for 7 years, you kind of, that's exactly what you do. You come to terms with it. You just realize that's part of your life now.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't ever something that he sought out to do. Mm-hmm. But when it came along, you know, awesome. But it was really cool for him.
Yeah.
Just not expecting anything to come of it, and then literally come of it.
Yeah.
It did.
We put so much emphasis on the genitals too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when people have orgasms in their sleep, you know, people breathe themselves in orgasm. Those are, you know, energy orgasms. They're real orgasms.
Oh, yeah.
Genitals don't have to be touched to have orgasms. Yeah. I've heard of people having spinal cord injuries and eroticizing their ears or their neck, where you put so much focus on this part of you, in a way where you're staying open to it being an erotic thing. If it's something that's already somewhat erotic to you, right? Like, I like having my ear licked. I think if I did it the right way with someone licking my ear, I could totally have orgasm with it.
Yeah.
Because our lot biggest sex organ is our brain. It's not our genitals. So I think that's an important thing to point out, is like there's so much power there that goes beyond the body. And when we put all the emphasis on the physical body, when the body doesn't perform the way we want to, then the shame comes.
Sure, sure. And, you know, he was paralyzed from his nipple down, like actually right in the middle of the nipple line.
So the top half
of the nipple, he could feel, the bottom half, he could not. It was really bizarre.
Huh.
But he said that since his injury, everything above the injury line was super sensitive.
Oh, like hypersensitive.
Hypersensitive. Just a touch of the ear or just on the neck, anything was so erotic for him.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Do you still see him?
No, he left me on an island in a hurricane. So.
He left you on an island?
What?
He abandoned you on an island in a hurricane?
All right. It was Oahu. So.
Oh.
At least I was in Hawaii. But.
Oh, man.
So there was a hurricane and he just picked up and left?
Yeah.
Well.
All right.
Shit.
Bummer.
Family stuff.
Yeah, so good luck to you, sir.
Have a nice life.
Have a nice life. Well, I bet, you know, you helped to show him the potential of all that he is capable of. You know, you're is this the muse the right word?
I think that's the important message of having you on the show, too, is that people with disabilities are sexual beings.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we all are in some form or the other. There are good resources. There's a book, Sex and Disability. Uh-huh. There's sexualityanddisability.org that goes over a lot of different aspects as well. They actually have really cool graphic imagery too, like icons of some different positions.
All the different positions you can try.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So
what site is that?
It's sexualityanddisability.org.
Okay.
It looks like a great resource. I just was like scoping the web for some resources because I think it's important for people to know kind of that what's out there.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that overall, I mean, I don't know. I think the message is everybody feel empowered and like keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
One thing doesn't work, try another thing.
I've had two other experiences with people with a disability, essentially paralysis. Mm-hmm. In my past, I had a massage client that was in a wheelchair. He was paralyzed from about the same area down. And, you know, at the end of it, he was so sweet and was just talking about, you know, how sex wasn't a part of his life. And I was like, I just asked him, do you want me to try something? Do you want me to try massaging you there? Would it help? Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm not going to feel it. And I tried it because I wanted to give that to him.
Aww,
and
nice.
As much as it didn't do anything for him, he said just mentally watching it was enough.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I was with another gentleman after this one, just briefly. We're great friends. And then, you know, long weekends happen. And he got the same twitch. He got the same spasm from, I had a vibrator that was really powerful. It was too powerful for me. It was almost like the massage,
yeah.
You know, the massage.
Like magic wand.
Yeah.
Was it the big one, the magic wand?
No, it was just a little one, but it was so powerful. It would hurt me.
Oh, you know? Wow.
And I tried it on him one time, just kind of joking, telling him, maybe it'll work. And his leg twitched and his eyes got so big.
No.
I left it with him.
You know, yeah, here's a gift. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun with that, man. Yeah. Try it out. So I don't know if he has since then or not. You know, I haven't spoke to him for a while. But
I wonder if in the world of massage, if there's a lot of massage therapists who aren't comfortable working with folks who have disabilities, mm-hmm. because they're afraid of whatever that is, their own ideas and ignorance around it, and or that they might not be able to do their job because of sensation. So I think that's really important to hear that you're just, you know, open. You're not.
I am.
And that's really great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That could be like something to specialize in. Yeah.
I was thinking about that. Yeah. I've pondered that before. Cause there's so many people that need that in their life and don't have any other route to get it. And so.
And you're right about the touch and mm-hmm. like the way the muscles respond, even when your body still triggers certain things trigger. I mean, the twitch or the different aspects of the body. So, it is important to kind of engage the circulation and
even
and
just mentally them seeing something, you know, it's, I think that does a lot for a person.
Well, especially if you haven't experienced it in a while or you're going through things, the whole story about I'm not desirable anymore.
Imagine the dating scene's a little tough.
Yeah, you know? Totally. And so you're actually seeing this person who is touching you and, you know, in the case with your partner, I can't say mm-hmm. what it was like with your client, but with your partner at the time, you were really into it. So to see someone show up that wants to pleasure you when you haven't felt that in a while is really important. That's why these people are sexual surrogates. You know, then
I've heard about that too.
Yeah, it's its own.
What's important sexual surrogate?
They're people who are they're essentially kind of like physical therapists who specialize in sexuality that will actually have sexual experiences or be intimate with folks with disabilities. One, so that, I mean, part of it said they can have an experience of that, but also so that they can learn about sexuality too. And there's a movie that years ago, Helen Hunt did this movie. I forgot the name of it. I saw it on an airplane. And she played a sexual surrogate.
I did. I saw that movie.
Yeah. And so, and they usually, when they work with people, they only work with them for a limited time so that it doesn't become a relationship.
Emotional.
Yes. Yeah. So I think there's like something, you know, it's always different, I'm sure. But I think, and there actually is, if you go online, I think there's like a board of sexual surrogacy and you can find sexual surrogates who are licensed through it.
There's very few left in the country.
It's, not a. probably supported or popular.
No, probably not.
But much needed.
Which, why wouldn't it be supported? That's so
some people just
bizarre.
Have social anxiety too.
Yeah.
They can't talk to people. They can't they can't actually talk to people, but they do have that need in life.
Yeah, there could be folks that have emotional disabilities as well.
There's that too.
And this is why sex workers are awesome and much needed and should be completely legalized.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it's therapy. And that's like for you as well. I mean, I think that just the experience with your client that's got to be so helpful.
Yes. And you have to do your research. I mean, even if it's just, if you just meet the client and you find out, you might want to look up their injury and find out and ask how long it, you always
so
want to
hurt
ask,
them. Right?
You always, when you give them a massage, you always ask somebody what, if they have any injuries or injury or pains or anything going on with their body. So especially with somebody with a disability, you want to know what their problem is so you don't make it worse.
Yeah.
There's a lot of contraindications that go along with it. So, you know, just be aware if you're going to, they appreciate the touch though more than you could imagine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such a wonderful offering. Do you want to tell people how, I don't know if you want to do it, how people can work with you, if they want to work with you. Is that available?
They're more than welcome.
You're a massage therapist.
And you live in Santa Cruz.
I live near Santa Cruz.
Oh, yes. Near Santa Cruz. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How do they work with you? Do they contact you?
I guess they could contact me.
You have an email?
I do.
Do you have a phone? What is your preferred method of contact?
Email
would be okay.
Email? Okay.
Yes, which is icanworm@yahoo.com.
I can worm.
I-C-A-N-W-O-R-M.
Like you can do the worm?
Like you can do the worm. I can't.
Oh, okay.
It means something different, but that's exactly
what. Okay. I can worm at what?
Yahoo.com.
Yahoo.com. Yes. Okay.
It was interesting, like when you had written us mm-hmm. and kind of talked about your experience a little bit, I thought it was just important for mm-hmm. folks out there to learn about your story. Mm-hmm. Some folks can relate to it. Some folks, I think it'll be helpful. So thank you for sharing.
Well, you're welcome.
Your story.
I just hoped that if anybody else was out there that was struggling with having sex in their life, that this may help one or two. It's not going to help everyone. Everybody's different. So I don't want everybody to think that, oh, this person said I have a shot. Well, you have a chance, you know, but it's not a bad thing to at least look into.
Or learn new ways for pleasure. You know, the one way that society says you should have sex and have your orgasms, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many other ways that you can do it and just to stay open to that and adjust the change should you want to.
And ours started with the first reaction he got was through oral sex, and which I love to do. I do. I'm kind of a freak of nature like that.
Nice.
I love it. But so, you know, and then we figured out that I couldn't last that long. I can do that for almost an hour, but I couldn't get it there. So, you know, try different things. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's different for every person.
Do your research, as you said.
Do your research.
And I think read the books. There's books out there. Yeah. There's other tools.
I got on the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
And there's a lot of testimonials, a lot of questions. Q&A.
Does it have forms sex related?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
There's all kinds of forums on there.
Awesome.
There's all kinds of sex questions and answers. So,
and if you don't know, ask one of those forums. Like, if you're a person out there that wants to know more information, there are obviously other resources for you. And that's such a great point that you made, that obviously this episode won't be affecting everyone, but even one or two people that it could help. That's why we started the podcast in the first place.
Just raising awareness.
One or two people get something out of it. That is helpful.
Sure.
Well, and then this also can apply to anyone. Like, we're not going to say that it's a disability to have an erectile issue necessarily, but maybe to you it is. I don't know. But I mean, this applies to all things. You know, bodies, if we live a long life, they're not going to function the way they once do, whether it's we get an injury or we just age. And so I think it's helpful to normalize that.
And erectile dysfunction is something that can be treated.
Yeah.
Whether it's nerves or it's a physical ailment, you know, there's medications, but you don't have to be hard to have an ejaculation.
No.
You know, you don't.
Or to have pleasure.
And there's other ways to please your partner. If you can't get your penis hard, then there's toys, there's things, there's other ways. So, you know, don't rule anything out.
Right.
Yeah, don't get stuck on that hard cock unless you,
unless you want to get stuck on it.
Yeah. Stuck on that dick. Do you like wine?
I love wine.
Good, because we're going to give you some Margins wine.
Oh, I keep hearing about it.
We got Chenin Blanc, or we have the Cab Franc.
Are you red or white?
Red
or
white. I'm a red girl.
All right. Okay. Cab Franc.
We should have done another on-the-air tasting, but it's in the middle of the day. And everybody has stuff to do, so we're like...
Our listeners are like, that didn't stop you before.
I know.
Yeah.
I almost brought the tequila,
I've got mezcal in the freezer.
Well, we'll send you home with a bottle. You've heard on our podcast before, but Margins Wine is a woman-owned and operated local wine in Santa Cruz from... it's made from underrepresented grapes from underrepresented regions, so not just around Santa Cruz. And it's raw wine, so it's organic as it gets.
And when you pour it, it has like an almost unrefined kind of look. Like, it's not... It's beautiful color, but sometimes it can be a little cloudy.
Okay.
But it's so tasty. And awesome. It's because there's less sulfites. It's naturally harvested. They hand harvest the grapes. So there's less damage.
The
no pesticides.
Way it should be.
Yeah. There's no pesticides in any of the process.
That's awesome.
And no additives. So you really don't get a hangover. I was drinking it last night. Sometimes I'm like, I drink this shit like juice.
It's not shit, by the way.
No, it's not.
It's gold. But
yeah, it's gold.
It's gold like juice. But that's just me and my, you know, my sailor language.
Uh-huh. And it's just delicious.
Yeah.
So go to check out marginswine.com, everyone. If you would like to order some bottles, that'd be wonderful. If you get three bottles or more, if you use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX10, you get 10% off. And if you order six bottles or more and you use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX15, you get 15% off. She ships them all over the country.
And last but not least, if you do want to check out any Hot Octopus products that we've talked about, there's a Pulse Solo, Pulse Duo. Pure Pleasure has those, and they are actually great sellers. Solo is our number one seller, helping thousands of people all over the world have erections and orgasms.
Pleasure
in general. They're not very shaming products. They don't look like a mouth, a butt, a vagina. They don't have hair strung into them like some of the pocket pussies out there.
What if you're
They're
into
actually
that?
Quite beautiful. So you can go to purepleasureshop.com and actually use the code SHAMELESSSEX.
Shameless PP and all
shameless
caps.
PP.
I know we should change
we
that.
We need to like, we just need to.
We need to streamline it.
I know we do.
Shameless PP all caps.
But you can get, 15% off.
Yep.
So check that out.
Yeah, we also have all those harnesses we talked about. Thigh harnesses.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we have the palm harness, but thigh harnesses and all the, all the things.
Yeah,
Squall support sheets.
Go get it. And Lindsay.
And contact Lindsay if you want massage.
Yes, icanworm@yahoo.com.
Icanworm. I love that.
I know, me too.
Thanks,
all right,
Lindsay.
Y'all.
Thanks.
It's been amazing having you, Lindsay. Yeah,
thanks,
we love
y'all.
Our listeners. We hope you love this episode. Go ahead, give us a review on iTunes. We really love your 5-star reviews and your feedback. I read them. Sometimes I cry myself or laugh myself to sleep at night.
She's working on her
my grammar.
Grammar.
Thank you for tuning in, y'all. Ciao for
thanks.
Now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.